Well, I gave you a really cool map. You have no idea how hard it is to find a good map of the Table of Nations. This is from Genesis chapter 10. And I actually found in my old handouts, this is made from an overhead, so you can actually see the little cutouts, say the circles where it goes. And I have one map, and then you put a layer over it. And it's really very difficult to find a good map of Genesis 10. You're going to need this for a couple of Sundays. Today we're down in Egypt, but as we come up to the northern invasion, we'll be looking at Tubal and Meshech and all those other nations that are listed on that. So you can fold that up and put it in your map, in your Bible, and you'll have an extra map. Most Bibles today do not have in the map concordance a table of nations. And the reason for that is because as we have become more liberal as a country, fewer and fewer publishers are willing to actually state what historically has been known all along. So that's why it's increasingly difficult to find maps of the Table of Nations. But the way God works is he puts somebody there and he gives it that name, and then for as long as he's going to deal with the history of the world, that's the name that it's called from that first forefather that went there. Take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 11. I would like to ask you to give me some patience here, some time. I do not want to turn this section of Scripture loose in Ezekiel until I'm able to really translate it and come to a conclusions about Egypt in prophecy. But if you look at Daniel chapter 11, we have done the exposition of chapter 11 before, and it's about the king of the north and the king of the south. It includes the Maccabean period. It includes Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, when he invaded Israel, the rabbis, the priests, went out with the prophecy of Daniel and said, "See, this is you." And they surrendered to him, and everything went well for Israel under Alexander the Great's rule. And this is part of the reason why. But after he died, his nation was split into four generals, one of whom disappeared. But in Scripture, it's the battle between the king of the north and the king of the south. Egypt is still a major player in world politics during the land of pretty much all of the empires, including Rome. This covers Greece and Rome. But in chapter 11, when you come down to verse 36, the context changes, and it goes from our vantage point to the future. Daniel 11 is helpful in understanding what God's doing in Ezekiel. If you don't know the history of this, you would not recognize clearly that he has a different king in mind when he comes to verse 36. Then the king shall, and sometimes he distinguishes between a ruler and a prince, but here he's referring to the Antichrist. Then the king, that is the king of the north, shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. He shall regard neither the gods of his fathers, it's a plural there, nor the desire of women. We're not exactly sure what that means. It may mean that he's homosexual. It may mean that he has no regard for women who play a major part in politics and the running of the world, because his God is a God of force, since women historically are not as strong as men. We just don't know exactly what it means. It just says whatever it is that the desire of women refers to, he's not going to have anything to do with it. No regard for previous gods, no regard for women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above them all. And the midway through the tribulation, the Antichrist destroys the apostate church and makes himself a religion unto his own right, actually setting his throne in Jerusalem. But in their place he shall honor a god of force or fortresses, and a god which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. That is, anybody who is on his team, they will receive lots of gold, lots of money. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god. What kind of fortresses or nations is he going to attack, according to verse 39? Weak ones or strong ones?
Strong
ones. The strongest fortresses shall he acknowledge and advance its glory, that is, his kingdom's glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. In other words, he's going to give his generals portions of the world as their reward for being in his service. Now, those who take the Ezekiel prophecies as all fulfilled argue that Egypt has diminished power and is diminished even to this day, and well, will be. However, as I understand Ezekiel, its future, and that the diminished power is a reference to the millennium time, not to the current age in which we live. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 11, Egypt is a world power. It is really the only nation that's actually listed that attacks the king of the north, or the Antichrist. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. He shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. Now, basic words. Is the king of the north, or Antichrist, attacking Egypt in her land, or does Egypt come out of her land and attack the king of the north? And the answer is, Egypt comes out of her land and attacks the king of the north and loses, and then is hauled, is back down. Antichrist goes down into Egypt and totally sacks it. This is not some kind of a historical reference to 605, the Battle of Carchemish. It's all future. It's at the time of the end, as Daniel says, verse 41. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown or humbled, but these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. Now, as you know, those nations east of the Dead Sea are not conquered by Antichrist. It is that region to which Israel is told to flee when they see the abomination of desolation. That is, the Antichrist setting up his image in the temple in Jerusalem. They are to flee to the wilderness, and the wilderness will help her. Verse 42, he will stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasuries of gold and silver, over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. That is, he'll conquer all of North Africa. But news from the east and the north shall trouble him. I'm guessing that this is the news of the destruction of the cities of Babylon, Mosul, and Tyre, that those nations are going to be destroyed, leaving him to put his headquarters in Jerusalem. Three of his four primary capitals are destroyed. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many, specifically in Israel. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, and yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. So he's going to return out of Egypt, make his headquarters in Jerusalem, which was already one of his capitals, and from there he's going to be destroyed. Doesn't give us the details about it, but he's going to be destroyed by Christ after, that's Christ's second coming. All right, now please turn to Ezekiel chapter 30. There are seven specific oracles covering, I think, four chapters in this section of Ezekiel. And it's the longest section of prophecy concerning Egypt anywhere in Scripture. Babylon has more prophecy. It has six chapters across the scope of the Scripture. But here, Egypt you see that has four chapters. So it's a major player in the prophetic picture of the end times. In verses 1 to 5, what Ezekiel is given by God is that North Africa will be absolutely decimated. Verse 1, chapter 30 of Ezekiel, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus says Yahweh God, the Lord God, wail, wail, woe to the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of fire or smoke, the time of the Gentiles. So with verse 3, he picks up the theme of the end times, just as Daniel says, at the time of the end. Here he says, in the day of the Lord. And what he's saying is the day of the Lord is near. In biblical chronology, this end time of the tribulation is always near. It doesn't mean it could come at any moment, but in terms of the scope of God putting up with the unbelief of the world and the opposition of Satan, the time is near for the judgment. So the day of the Lord, it's a day of smoke, it's a time of the Gentiles, and the sword, verse 4, the sword will come on Egypt, there'll be anguish in Cush. These nations, as we go through here, you can pick it up in your passage, in your little map there. Cush is Ethiopia. If you look now at a map, you have all kinds of nations in North Africa. Essentially, in the table of nations format, you have two nations that are all of North Africa. So Kenya, Somalia, Sudan, that upper Nile, Egypt, is all Ethiopia. That's considered Ethiopia. And then north of that, at the delta of the Nile, is Egypt. So Egypt goes almost all the way down. The upper part of Egypt would be considered Ethiopia. And then you have other nations, these other tribes that go out to the west of Egypt, and they're by different names, but we'll look at them as they come along. Verse 4, and great anguish shall be in Ethiopia when the slain fall in Egypt, and they take away her wealth, and her foundations are broken down. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, all the mingled people, Chub, and the men of the lands who are allied shall fall with them by the sword. The only one we don't exactly know which nation it is Chub, and it's an east, northeast African nation, but we don't know which one it is. Haven't been able to figure that one out. But the other ones, they're labeled and actually on your map of the table of nations. So in the first five verses, his first section is that all of North Africa is going to be decimated, and his time for this is actually the day of the Lord. The day of clouds is a reference to the fire or the smoke. All right, in verses 6 through 9, he's going to argue that all of North Africa will be destroyed. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, the ones leaning on Egypt will fall. The pride of her power will go down. From north to south, from Migdol to Aswan to the Syene, this whole region of Egypt, from north to south, they will fall by the sword, states the Lord Yahweh. They will be ruined. They'll be devastated, verse 7. They will be ravaged in the midst of the territories of the ravaged ones. So all of North Africa is going to be ravaged, but especially his focus here is on Egypt. In the midst of all these ravaged countries will be the destroyed nation of Egypt. His cities, in the midst of his cities, will be desolated. So that the whole thing is going to be sacked. Verse 8. And they will know that I am the Lord when I set a fire in Egypt. All of it will be crushed, and all of her helpers will be crushed. will be crushed with her. In that day, messengers will go out from my face, literally from the Lord, in ships to terrify, to cause to tremble the confident, the unsuspecting, the naive even, the nation of Cush or Ethiopia. They're going to be unaware of the incredible power that's coming from Antichrist, that he's going to destroy them. Anguish will come on them in the day of Egypt, for behold, it is coming. So in verses 6 through 9, he says all of North Africa, including what we put together, Somalia, Sudan, Upper Egypt, that whole region that goes across there is going to be completely destroyed. It's going to happen. Now, in verses 10 to 12, as is common in prophecy, he jumps back and talks specifically about Nebuchadnezzar. And so, if you look at Daniel 12, if you look at Isaiah, if you look at Ezekiel, you have, here's what the king of the north did. Nebuchadnezzar did this. All right, well, guess what? This is a foretaste. It's a great illustration of what's going to happen here. Just like Alexander the Great is a great illustration of what the Antichrist is going to do. So you have prophecies concerning Alexander the Great and his abilities, and the reported his mother, that he's the offspring of a Greek god and a human woman, you know, all those reports about Alexander the Great. No one could stand up to him. You have that kind of a prophecy, and it anticipates somebody who's in a completely different league all of his own, namely the Antichrist. So in verses 10 to 12, he's going to talk now about Nebuchadnezzar. Look at verse 10. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will cause to cease the wealth of Egypt by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, a king of Babylon. He and his people with him, these ruthless, terrifying nations. It's hard to imagine the cruelty that went with the Assyrian and the Babylonian empires. Nebuchadnezzar is a classic illustration of the kind of cruelty that Nebuchadnezzar is going to have. Zedekiah, the last king of Israel who rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, he was captured and taken up to an outpost in Israel where Babylon controlled it. And they had captured all of all of Zedekiah's sons. And they slew all of his sons in front of him. Okay, they slaughtered all of his family. And then Nebuchadnezzar put his eyes out and then hauled him to Babylon. So you talk about cruelty. So the last thing that he remembered was the execution of his sons. So when it says here that this terrifying, this ruthless of all the nations, he's absolutely prophesying what literally took place. He's being brought to destroy the land. They will draw their swords against Egypt. They will fill the land with corpses. Verse 12. I will make the waterways of the Nile dry land. That is, Nebuchadnezzar came down and he destroyed all their waterworks, and will sell the land into the hand of the evil ones. He traded for money. I will desolate the land and her followers by the hand of aliens. I, the Lord, have spoken. So in this section, he says Nebuchadnezzar is going to come down and he is going to destroy Egypt. Verses 13 to 19 explain that, just rehearses it, that God is going to judge all of this nation. All of Egypt is going to be judged. We'll just touch on some of these things. While most of these places are in your map, but I still want to go over it. Now in verses 13 to 19, I'm not sure whether this is referring to Nebuchadnezzar or whether it's future. At this point, based on my study, I'm most inclined to say in verse 13, because it's a new section, he's jumping forward to the future. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, I will cause or cease to exist. I will annihilate. The idols of Egypt are going to come to a complete and total end. That is absolutely not the case today. If you go through Egypt, it is an idolatrous nation. This prophecy here says that God's going to cause these idols to cease in their existence. I will cause to cease, I'll bring to an end these idolatries from Noph, which is way up near Cairo, if you've ever been to Cairo, and a prince from the land of Egypt, there will not be any longer. There's not going to be another king anywhere. So my thinking in verse 13 to 19 is that he's jumping forward to the millennial time, and he's looking at the results of God's judgment upon Egypt. And the results is that Egypt's not going to have a king in the millennium. They'll have five cities that speak Hebrew. There'll be a temple, like we saw last Sunday in Egypt. And there's not going to be any idolatry anymore in Egypt. Okay? And I will put fear in the land of Egypt. Could also be reverence, but there's verse 14. And I will make desolate Pathros. This is in Upper Egypt. It's up in the north. And I will set fire in Zon. That's northwest part of the delta. I will do judgment in Thebes. That's also known as No. If you look at your map, you have two cities. One's at the beginning and one's at the end of Egypt. So the first city you come to is On. Then you go 300 miles south of Cairo, and you come to the city No. It's like, first we go to On, and then we go to No. So if you're dyslexic, this is a really good map. You know, no matter which way you go, it's either On or No. It's from beginning to end, he's going to judge Egypt. Verse 15, if you weren't a Bible expositor, this would make a great memory verse for children. I will pour out my fury on sin. Isn't that great? Don't you want your kids to memorize that? Unfortunately, sin here does not refer to sin. It refers to the frontier, the eastern frontier of Egypt. So in Israel, when they started out their journeys, they went to the wilderness of Sin. And it's a section of wilderness that's on both sides of the Red Sea. It's the Gulf, it's the wilderness of Sinai, and then across the Red Sea to the eastern frontier of Egypt. So he's going to pour out his fury on this frontier part of Egypt, which is Egypt's strength. Verse 15, I will cut off the multitudes of No. That's all the way down Thebes, all the way down at the bottom, the northern part of, or the very southern part of Egypt. And I will set fire in Egypt and greatly anguish the wilderness outpost that we just talked about, Sin. And Thebes, or No, will be broken through, and there will be constant or daily woes on Noph. Noph is also on your map up near Cairo. Verse 17, the young soldiers, these are young male soldiers of Aven, which is north, the north part of Egypt, and Pi-Beseth, which is about 40 miles from Memphis, it's in the lower part of Egypt. By the sword they'll fall, and they will go into captivity. Verse 18. And then next word is translated in different ways, but it's in the northeast section of the delta part. In that day, that region will be devoid of day. It'll actually be dark. It's a astrological problem. When I shatter the strength or the yokes of Egypt, so when God deals with Egypt, there's going to be darkness. I will cease, cause to stop in her the pride of her strength, and clouds of smoke will cover, and all of her women, all of her daughters will go into captivity. Verse 19, I will do judgments on Egypt, and they will know that I am the Lord. So the result of these judgments in this section is that the idols of Egypt are going to come to an end, and the people are going to know that God has dealt with them. So this section of Scripture, it's one of the prophecies concerning Egypt. And what it says is all of North Africa is going to be destroyed, first by Nebuchadnezzar and then a second time by the Antichrist. Let's pray.